Welcome back to Community Matters. It's a Saturday thing on WBCK and a anytime thing at battlecreekpodcast.com. In fact, a brand new website there, battlecreekpodcast.com. All of our Community Matters episodes archived there. The most recent ones load first. So if you're listening to this on the radio and want to hear it again or share it, maybe good information you want to share with others, battlecreekpodcast.com makes that pretty easy. Community Matters, sponsored and made possible by Lakeview Ford Lincoln. I'm Richard Pyatt. 73 million. That's how many customers of AT&T or former customers were affected by a data breach that was announced on Easter Sunday. Interestingly, probably some kind of PR move there. Everybody's distracted, and that might be a good time to just slip this into the news. Anyway, I suppose that's a discussion for a PR professional. But instead, we thought we'd invite Larry Denniston to Community Matters from CMIT Solutions here in Southwest Michigan to talk a little bit about what we really want to know, Larry, which is we hear these things and we say, oh, brother, what do we do? Hi, Larry. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. How are you?
Great. So this is what your company deals with pretty regularly, helping folks secure their assets, generally businesses, but really some of the acumen is the same, right? For consumers, we have to protect our information online. And when we hear these kinds of news stories, what should be some of the things we should think about first?
Well, one of the things is today we have a situation where we have accounts everywhere on the internet.
Yep.
And they're usually tied to our email address, sometimes not, but most of the time. And you have a password. And so there's a few things that you really need to do there is if you were one of the ones that were part of the 73 million AT&T customers, which, by the way, I do want to make the comment that the hack on AT&T actually happened in 2019. Huh. Just now getting around to admitting to it.
Wow.
Well, it started in 2019, I should say. And now most of the 73 million came from back then. And now they've been adding to it. But anyway, what you need to do is make sure that, number one, you're not sharing passwords. And by that, I mean, you're not using the same password on multiple accounts, multiple websites, because if you happen to have one of the passwords that got hacked, then what the bad guys do is they turn around and they will go to multiple websites and see if that password works.
Mm-hmm.
And they may get into your bank account just because you use the same password. So never use the same password on more than one site.
Stop talking about me, Larry. I'm right here. So does it help if you vary the password a little?
Well, so there's a couple ways of doing it. One, the best way of doing it is use a password manager. And what that does is it gives you two layers of protection. The first layer is to create a password that is very hard to hack. And it's nothing that you could remember, but you have it in your password manager. And then the second one is when you go to a website, it makes sure that you're at the real website, not a fake one that's pretending to be the website.
Yeah, that's
and
scary.
So that's two layers of protection there. Now, the other thing is you can use phrases. And I used to do this before I started using a password manager. And I'd kind of look around my room or my office, and I'd look for a phrase. You might say, oh, green ghost, or something like that. Then you use green ghost and you put capital letters in various places. You change some of the letters to numbers or symbols like a dollar sign or a percent sign, that sort of thing. Or you might say Community Matters. You can create multiple passwords off that, but mm-hmm. You change things. You might have the second password be Matters Community. That helps you remember it, but you want to make sure that your passwords are at least 12 characters long. It makes it harder to hack. And don't use Monkey123. That is one of the most popular passwords.
I thought it was Password that was the most popular
password
one.
Password is the most popular password.
Oh, my gosh. But
like Monkey123 is like the second most popular one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is a lot of websites, and it's becoming more and more common, do multi-factor authentication. And what
yes.
that is, after you log in with your password and it's validated, then it'll ask you for a six-digit code. And that six-digit code could come from an authenticator app on your phone, or it could be texted by the website to your phone number. If you're using the authenticator app, believe it or not, those codes are tied together via a very long password, and they change every 30 seconds.
Oh, my. And well, so, that seems effective.
Yeah, that helps from people being able to hack into, because they have to have the authenticator app set up to be matching your account.
You can see how that would be effective, right? Somebody's trying to log in as you on a website, and it stops and says, wait, we're going to send a code to your phone to make sure it's you. If it's not you, they're not going to get that code. So right. That stops it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm curious about these password managers that you refer to. I understand they're out there. I've been a little bit acquainted with them, but I'm not sure I understand them. They're a plugin or an add-on to your browser, and it automatically chooses a massive password, yes, that you don't have to remember. How does that work?
Exactly. Exactly. That's how it works. They are, most of them are add-ins to your browser. When you go into and create an account and you have your password manager running at that point in time, it says, oh, do you want to create a new password, a new account? And you say yes, and it creates it for you. And then it stores that, and you need to come up with one of those passwords, because you got to enter a password to get into your password manager. That's the one you have to remember.
But you're that remembering way, one password for the manager, and it's managing all the others for you.
Yeah, I've got like 300 passwords in my password manager.
This is the challenge.
Exactly. So that's why those are really the best way to handle things like that.
Yeah.
And that way, and it creates a password that could be capital A, $, small d, 5, 6, capital Y, asterisk, and then it keeps going, and it's like 12 to 18 characters long.
Yeah, hard to guess, and something that I know Richard would never remember. So
right.
It's good to have that kind of technology. And those are pretty safe, are they?
Yes, they tend to be pretty safe. Bitwarden has become one of the best that you can get. You can even set it up to where you have a family option where you can share your passwords with other members of your family. Everybody has their own, but then you can say, share this one, share that one. That way, when you're an old person like I am and you have adult children, you can share your passwords with your adult children, or set up your adult children to be the ones, in case you get into an accident or something, that they can have access to it.
Well, that's an interesting point. And one thing we've learned about, you know, putting all of our important papers and things together, account lists and passwords are things that people might need if we needed help somehow.
Absolutely.
Bitwarden, you said, is one that you're comfortable with.
Yes.
Now, this works on your browser, on your computer, but of course, many of us too have apps on our phone. So for example, I could pay my electric bill on my computer by logging into the website, or on an app on my phone. So I presume that if you choose to use the phone, the two-factor authentication becomes more of the security force in that regard, or does the password manager work there too?
Password manager also works on your phone.
Okay.
And it keeps your password synced between the two devices. You can have multiple devices, and you can have a tablet, a computer, and a phone. They all have the same password vault is what it's called.
Okay.
And if you make a change on one, it'll sync to the others. Password managers work really well there as well.
Okay. What about from a business angle? So, you know, you think about AT&T and this latest example that's in the news. Some of those folks who had those accounts whose information may have been compromised were business accounts, right? So does this offer some kind of additional threat or expanded threat as a result of a business account?
It absolutely does. And businesses have to worry, because by being able to get into your AT&T account, then maybe again, if someone's using the same password, they get into other accounts as well. And businesses definitely have to worry about it.
Yeah. And of course, a business computer network could be particularly threatening in the sense that you've got a lot of your business assets and details on a hard drive, perhaps even on the cloud, maybe. But if someone can find a way in, like this AT&T situation, can that threaten everything else?
It can. Security is, especially in a business, but still at home too, is like an onion. There's multiple, many layers that you have. It's not one thing that takes care of everything. There's many layers. You have to protect your network, because what happens is if you have a business, whether it's small or whether it's, you know, a medium-sized business, you got a dozen or 20 people on your network. If one person gets hacked, it can laterally move to other people's computers. And so you have to have a lot of protection. Each computer needs its own protection. You need to do backups. You need to be able to do protection at your firewall, that sort of thing. Again, multiple layers, not one thing covers everything.
This is probably something that's on the minds of business owners, but they might not carry out all of the steps they might need to have that full onion. And I say this with an asterisk, because I've seen Larry make these presentations where he does a visual about the onion. So if you picture an onion with all of its layers, and the layers being the various options for protection of your business or personal information, most businesses, for example, as you've said, Larry, have some layers and not others. And so there are ways to infiltrate if just that hacker can find the way in.
Exactly. One of the best things that you can do is to find and work with a professional cybersecurity organization, because they know about all the layers and they know how to protect you. You leave two or three layers out, it could get you hacked. Really work with a professional. Look at all the layers. Definitely, you know, work with a password manager in a business. Like I say, a business can then share passwords across all the employees as needed for common accounts.
I was chatting with a business owner recently who underwent a loss of the server. And of course, most of us in business are keeping our information, our assets, all of our business information on computers on a server of some kind. And they told me that they don't want to use the cloud because they feel the cloud is not secure. Yet so many of us use the cloud as a backup so that if we lose our servers, we have an ability to access the information that was there. How do you feel about the cloud? Is it safe?
Well, keep one thing in mind. The cloud is one term that covers a lot of things.
Yeah.
So for example, backup services that we provide do backups to local devices, and then the local devices copy those to quote unquote the cloud. Well, the cloud that they're copying to is the services backup servers, and they have multiple locations and they keep multiple copies. But the cloud can also mean a service that you're working with, and or it could mean like Microsoft OneDrive, that sort of thing. So there's lots of things. The cloud isn't just one thing. And so is the cloud safe? You have to look at the vendors that you're working with and see if they are doing the right thing to keep your data safe. It could be safe with one vendor, but not another.
Boy, I would presume that the big dogs in that business, Apple, Google, they probably are safer in the sense that they're so large, they're following certain protocols that folks like you recommend. Is that a safe assumption?
Somewhat, yes. Again, there is no absolute.
Well, I found it interesting that this one person had virtually no confidence in the cloud, even after having lost a server, was still reticent to back up to the cloud. So I suppose that asking a professional about that as it relates to your specific situation would be a good idea.
Yes. You need to work with a professional that knows what they're doing and is certified so that they can help you keep from that, because you're specialized in your business, not in cybersecurity, and you need someone who really knows cybersecurity.
All right. Well, what did we learn today? As consumers, we should consider a password manager, which can help manage our passwords for us and do so in a more secure way than probably most of us would come up with if we were trying to establish our own passwords. And as Larry said, do them differently for every single login that you have. Or if you're a business, consider those onion layers of protection around your assets online, and do you have enough layers there to do that? And we'll link Larry's website in the notes, the show notes at battlecreekpodcast.com for this episode, so you can click through and ask him yourself if you wish to. And some of the other resources that we mentioned in the episode will be there as well at battlecreekpodcast.com. Larry Denniston, CMIT Solutions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.